Getting the support you need. Most of us didn't grow up with a model for what good support looks like. We had people who were supposed to help us and didn't, or who helped in ways that came with strings, or were so lost in their own stuff they couldn't see ours. So when we go looking for support as adults, we don't always know what we're looking for, and we definitely don't always know when what we're getting isn't it. So signs that you are getting the support that you need, they make you feel seen, not evaluated, not diagnosed, seen. The right person doesn't just hear your words, they catch the thing underneath the words. You don't have to over-explain or build your case. You say it once and they get it, and you can feel that they get it. They make you make sense. The right support helps you understand why you are the way you are, not as a problem to fix, but as a series of responses that made sense given what you were living in. You start to see yourself as someone who adapted, not someone who's broken. They make you feel like you're not too much. You can bring the hard stuff, the ugly crying, the rage, the shame spiral, the thing you've never said out loud. And the room doesn't shift. They don't pull back or change the subject or rush you to the silver lining. You get to be all of it without watching someone else get uncomfortable. They make you feel like there's time. You're not racing a clock. You're not performing efficiency or trying to get to the point before the session ends. Even in a structured setting, the right person gives you the feeling that there is enough time for you. That alone can be healing. They can meet you in it. This is different from being a good listener. Meeting you in it means they're not standing across the room taking notes. They're close enough to feel the weight of what you're carrying. They're not above your pain, and they're not rattled by it either. They can sit with it without trying to rush you out. Now, here's the other side, because just as important as knowing what good support feels like is being honest about when what you're in isn't working. You're doing their job for them. You've told them the same thing 3 times and they still don't have it. You spend the session managing the conversation, filling silence, steering, doing the work of keeping it going. You've started rehearsing what you're going to say beforehand. You're performing instead of healing. You leave feeling like you performed well, like you were insightful, articulate, made good progress. You've caught yourself protecting them, softening what happened because they looked uncomfortable last time. You're more scared to be honest now than you were in the beginning. It's not landing. You're getting homework and frameworks when what you needed was to be heard first. They keep going somewhere you already know isn't it. You leave with an explanation and no relief. You feel like a project. Something is off and nobody's saying it. Nothing has changed in a long time and neither of you has said so. You started dreading it or feeling relieved when they cancel. You feel worse about yourself, not just sadder about your life, but smaller. Finding the right support is one of the hardest things we do in healing because the very things that make us need help are the same things that make it hard to know when help isn't helping. We minimize, we adjust, we make it work the way we always have. But you deserve support that actually supports you. And if what you're in right now isn't doing it, it's okay to trust that read. So I don't know who's listened to the episode this week yet or not, but I would love to hear anybody share about, you know, if you've had bad experiences working with a therapist or a practitioner or a coach, or feel free to share your experience because I'm sure others will resonate. And it also might be helpful for somebody to hear that because there's probably people that are maybe not getting the greatest support and they're not able to recognize that they're in it. So feel free to share that. I've shared it many times about the experience that I had with a practitioner who recognized me being dysregulated and called it reason resistance. And I feel generally speaking that I've really lucked out. I've had great therapists. I feel like it's kind of like God or the universe giving me a little nudge that, like, yes, you're supposed to be somebody that speaks about this. So you need to at least have good support so that you can do this. But so I'm about to announce the next Safe Within. And so I've really just been reflecting upon how the first one went and changes that I'm going to make, but just what I thought was, you know, unique about the container and also just thinking about the support that we give each other here. But the thing that I had to really tell myself to, you know, because the imposter syndrome was like, why would anybody want to do this course with you? And the thing that I kept coming back to was like, you know, there's clearly something that makes other people feel safe in your presence. And I think that there's something about me that makes like this container, this community, this container, a safe space for people to show up. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things is my authenticity, but more so not trying to act like I have it all together. You know, like I've been doing this work for like a really long time. I thought that I was a lot further along than I really was. I was healing in my head for a long time before I started healing in my body and in my nervous system. And I'm still doing it, right? Like I'm still doing it every damn day. I still, you know, experience dysregulation. I still experience fear in my body. You know, the thoughts aren't there a lot of the time. It's now just more so like the physical sensation that I deal with. But there's a permission that that gives other people, you know, like when you're not pretending like you have it all together, I think that, that there's like a permission and a freedom for people to just feel safe to be where they're at. The whole thing of like, there's no right or wrong way to do this. Like there's no way that any of us could do this wrong, whether it's in the course or in this community. Like the only thing that we have to do is show up. And I also think that like humor also creates a healing environment too. When we're able to have humor and sarcasm in a way in which doesn't minimize our experience, it humanizes things, right? Like this is really like heavy, dark shit that we're dealing with here. I don't know. Have you guys been to some meetings where it's just like all doom and gloom? Like we have to be able to laugh at ourselves. It makes us feel normal. Like our experiences are normal given what we experienced, you know, we make sense. And I think it's so important that we be able to laugh at ourselves. And then the last thing I just want to share about is, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with somebody one-on-one for the past 2 months. And it's been so healing for me to like, it's been so healing for me to show up for this person in the way that I needed, like that the way in which I wish somebody could have showed up for me, and to just be like, I'm not fucking going anywhere. Like I'm not going anywhere. There is nothing that you could tell me that would upset me or disappoint me. Like I get it. Like if you do the thing that is different than what I, you know, suggested that you do, that's fine. Like if you do the thing that you know is not the right thing to do, that's fine. If you're in a place where you can't do the thing that you know that you need to do, like that's fine. And I'm not everyone's cup of tea, right? But like to be able to make connections and deliver like hard truths and big insights, but to be able to have them received. And also just to be able to know exactly, like, I get it, especially when it comes to relationship stuff, trauma bonds, toxic relationships, abandonment wounds. Like when you don't experience that, like to be on the receiving end of somebody who really can't relate to that, it feels so horrible. Like just like it really makes you feel horrible. So just to be able to be like, I get it. Like I've been there. I really understand what it is that you're going through. And just to see how this person is like slowly opening up and feeling safe. And like when you've never had anyone like truly show interest in you or truly care about you, it feels so off, you know, it really can make you feel so deeply uncomfortable. And so I really just feel so honored to be a part of this person's journey. Like it's like truly just like such an honor to walk with her. And just for me, have like being on the receiving end of that, there truly is nothing more powerful than to just know that someone's not going anywhere, you know, to be able to provide that experience for somebody else of like, I'm not going anywhere, even if you wanted me to, has really just been like a beautiful experience. So I just wanted to share that.
So I want to begin by saying that you are my cup of tea. So but anyway, oh my gosh, so many things you said. I'm going to start backwards, which is your relationship with this person. And it reminds me so much of how I felt when I first became a mother, because becoming a mother was incredibly healing for me, because I gave them the things that I was there for them no matter what. It was unconditional. And then I did listen to your episode. I thought it was really great. And I thought both of their personalities were really interesting. I think the thing about a therapist or maybe any relationship is just that feeling of unconditional acceptance, not necessarily that the person agrees, right, with what you chose to do, but that, you know, it's like unshakable. And so I think you need to be able to share things that you're afraid to share with most people, that maybe you're even embarrassed or you're afraid to be truthful with yourself about, because that person is like an anchor for you. And the fact that that person is an anchor, it makes you more willing or more, you're like, oh, well, I guess this is a really terrible thing, and you catastrophize and everything. And then they're like unmoved by it. They're like still there. You know, you're thinking it's like the worst thing in the world that you, and they're like, yeah. So in my experience, I've had both good and bad therapists, and I've had bad therapists. And I think you guys talked about this in the episode where the therapist ends up like talking about her own problems and giving the therapist advice, which didn't seem like appropriate. And I've had two therapists over the course of my life that I think are just like angels to me. And both of them have very similar characteristics or qualities. Both of them were able to remember details and minuscule details without ever having taken notes during the session. And I think it's because they were so engaged that they remembered everything. And the other thing is that both of them, I believe, have been through their own trauma, which is something else you talked about in your episode. They both had their own therapist, which is important. And so I felt comfortable, just like with you guys. Like, I remember the first time, the second time, whatever, expressing to you guys that it feels so good to be in a community where when I share something, like, you guys don't gasp or like, oh my God, that's so, you kind of just like shake your head like, yep, yep, you all get it. And that's where I feel like the therapists that have been really positive for me are the same. They've been through whatever it is. And in my particular situation, I'm a person who kind of like does a lot of talking in therapy, and they're totally fine with just sitting there and listening to me, and I come to my own kind of answers. And I know everyone's different about it. Some people like getting instructions and homework and all that stuff. But for me, it's more about just speaking out loud, and then I kind of come to my own answer. And they've both been super comfortable with periods of silence and me just like sitting and thinking. And they don't feel the need to interject. They don't feel the need to like make noise during that silence. And so they really validate me. So thank you.
So part of my journey to trauma therapy and recovery and everything that I've done over the last year and a half that's helped me so many ways has been a really difficult road to get there in the first place. And I always kind of had a sense that my situation or story was a little different, not necessarily always helpful or right. And when I was in probably my early 20s, I kind of got into a corporate job, took some health benefits, and decided to, you know, kind of speak to counselors and med management and things for the first times in my life, just to see if I could kind of turn around what you know, again, I sensed was not right. And the clinician that I got paired up with, I didn't realize he really liked to party, loved drugs, really prescribed freely. And I thought I was going for help. And next thing I know, I'm not waking up on time for work. My life went completely out of control. It just fell apart. This guy actually is doing 20 years in federal jail. He was giving amphetamines to non-patients as well. I learned all this after the fact, but it turned my life from being challenging to an absolute living hell. And, you know, I didn't want to say brink of suicide, but I was just failing all of a sudden in every corner that I was in. And because of his conviction and everything, I just knew I wasn't getting help I needed. I completely stepped back from mental health care completely. Realized again, I'm still surrounded by the same problems. Went for a second round, and the clinician I got into was just like, hey, just keep talking. I'm going to go find my drink off camera and just, I can hear you. And, you know, it's like, she's just completely not tuned in, and got me into another clinician. And this is both really hard to hear, but was probably some of the most helpful thing I heard on my way. I can't help you. Like, I'm not qualified. And what started to come out is my stories were above what she was comfortable to try to give advice. And I at least recognize and give her a lot of praise for saying, look, you need some assistance and you're not going to get what you need through me. And that's kind of where I was turned into, like, trauma counseling. And it's been an absolute, you know, 180 for me from there. But on this road, you know, I just want to say I found excellent help, and I have excellent help. And, you know, it's really been a lot of phone calls and screening people out and trying to find people that you connect with or don't to get there before you even start working. And I found somebody, you know, I can be comfortable with. I can swear. I can show up the way that I need to, tell the stories that I need to tell in the way that they need to tell them without feeling I, you know, need to be on like a Vice Informer episode with a mask on or something. And just shit is not always easy to talk about, but it's there. Just one of the most other helpful pieces that I heard along my way was only a couple weeks ago, and it's through this community. And I was an IFS session with Jesse. And he was like one of the first people that, you know, I kind of opened up my shell a little bit. And he's like, yeah, I get that. I would have been angry and scared too, or whatever. And just absolutely no judgment, just completely like, we get it. That's why we're here. And that's why we're all here. I like to see sometimes like the nodding and we get it. But I've truly never had anywhere to go or anybody to talk to outside of this where I really could show up in this way and really give myself any path forward. So it's out there. There's a lot of bad help too. Don't feel bad if you don't feel right with it. Go someplace else, but it is definitely there.
All right, shit shows. Do you ever have those days where everything takes you three times longer than you thought it would? I'll be honest, I have those days multiple times a week. And so then 6 p.m. rolls around and I've checked off like half my to-do list, and going to the grocery store is one of those things I've yet to do. Now, this is usually the moment that my inner critic loves to come in to start shaming me about how irresponsible I am, how I can't get it together, what the hell's wrong with me. But then I remember I have Omaha steaks in the freezer, and the critic no longer has a dinner crisis to shame me over. Now, having Omaha steaks in the freezer is like having a trusted butcher in a gourmet food shop right in my house. And let's talk about the flavor of these steaks, okay? Because when I buy steak at the grocery store, unless I marinate them ahead of time, it usually comes out kind of flavorless. But with Omaha steaks, I don't have to do a damn thing. No marinating, no planning, no thinking ahead. It is flavorful all on its own. And there's also a nostalgic thing going on for me, because my grandma, my dad's mom, she always gave us Omaha steaks every Christmas. And she was one of the few people that I felt truly unconditionally loved by. So there is a warmth to this that goes beyond just the way that they taste. Omaha Steaks has been around for over 100 years. It is the same damn beef people have trusted in their kitchen for generations, shipped nationwide straight to your damn door, arriving frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal time and effort. I personally like to cook my steaks in the air fryer. So shit shows, included in my most recent shipment from Omaha was their burger Burger Perfection flight, and boy, were they tasty. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak. So that is 4 filet burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. And if you've never tried them, you should, because they're damn good. So try the Burger Perfection flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That is omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Therapist. Well, I liked the episode, first off. It was very good. I listened to it this morning. And yeah, I touched on some things. I've had therapists in the past that I feel like I just didn't get along with them. Like they weren't bad for any reason, except maybe I just felt unsafe. So that would be a red flag. So then I decided I didn't want to go to her anymore. And I learned about IFS therapy in this group. And I did a bunch of research. And the only person who does that in my area is a man. And at first I had some reservations. But then, like, at this point, I couldn't imagine going to any other therapist. He validates my feelings. He helps me work through stuff in my relationship with my husband, in relationship at work, in relationship with my family. And I know it all comes back to that it's these parts. And I shared in one of the groups, someone was talking about getting super excited to go to therapy. And that was happening to me. And I have to tell those parts, or actually now what I do, a couple, like the day before I go to therapy, I ask those parts, like, who's really excited to go to therapy tomorrow? And I sit and listen to them, because if I don't, they're going to take over the whole session. And then we're not going to get to work on the abandonment shit that I need to work on. So, and my therapist, as I said, he is male. He grew up Mormon. He has 3 little kids. He was a therapist for prisoners in Wyoming. So he can go hard. If I like say we need to really like get into something, he'll be like, all right, let's do it. And yeah, there's no fear there. He's the one who I can talk about weightlifting with and how good it is for my parts to get into my body. And yeah, and we laugh about stuff. And as I said, he's raised Mormon, but he does not care when I drop the Jersey girl inner teen on him and put the finger up and say, I'm not doing that, but he'll eventually get me into it. So he's great. I love him. I love the episode. And thank you all for being here.
Hi, everyone. I haven't had a terrible experience with a therapist, but I've been through a few people who have helped me along my way, or tried to. And I think at the beginning, like, I didn't know what I needed. And I worked with a couple of mediocre people who just didn't do it for me. And so my time with them was very short. But my first, like, serious relationship with a life coach, because life coaches can be very helpful too. Not as like their training is on a different level and whatnot, but they still add value. And I worked with mine for probably 5 years, maybe. What is time? I worked with her for quite some time, and she really helped me kind of break some of my initial illusions around what I was actually dealing with, and that the chaos that was being held inside of my body was because of my family dysfunction. And she really helped validate where where I was, what I was experiencing, that I was, my parents failed me, and, you know, all the things. And then at some point along my relationship with her, it started to not be what I needed anymore. And I was so comfortable with her, though, that, like, I had a really hard time letting go. Around the time that my dad died in 2022, I started to see an actual, like, psychotherapist, but I was seeing my life coach at the same time, like, because I just had a really strong connection with her and I had a hard time letting her go. But then as I started working with my new therapist, like, I realized there was more that I could learn and learn about myself and in different ways with this new person. And so eventually I ended my relationship with the life coach, and I've been with my therapist ever since. And I feel like I've uncovered a lot more. I've been able to heal a lot more. I've been able to learn nervous system regulation strategies and, like, be able to identify, like, when I have parts coming up and when, just helping me build confidence within myself. And it's been great. And I might be on the precipice of needing to do another shift soon, but again, like, same with my other, working with my life coach, I am so comfortable with my therapist and I love working with her, and she is such a great support system that I do rely on. So I don't feel quite ready to let go, but at some point it may be time. And then also I've been able to identify, like, a few people in my life that I have brought close into my inner circle that I do find to be safe, and I feel seen, I feel heard. I feel like every time I share whatever it is that I have going on with them, it lands. And the feedback that they offer, the questions that they ask, like, it really does help me feel like I'm being seen and cared for and held in ways that I never had growing up. And I can also really tell when there are people that I wish did, but no fault of their own, they don't. And one other thing I kind of wanted to just, like, call out for myself is I notice that when I do have people that I want to share with, and it doesn't land, I have to kind of manage my expectations, like, and ask myself, what part am I trying to fulfill here? Like, am I trying to put this person in a particular role that I didn't have growing up? Like, say I try to connect with an older person who's female, like, am I trying to get her to fill the mother role that I didn't have or whatever? So just something to think about as you're navigating too, because your parts do have, they're not manipulative, they don't have motives, but they do have motives too, right? Like, they have goals that they want to meet that become your goals that are subconscious. So thanks for listening.
Hey friends. I would love to talk about therapy. Being a person that, you know, in my journey, I think I want to become one, and that is exciting. It's very much like medium term goals, I guess I'd call it, and like long term. In the short term, I'm going to get the move, going to get situated, keep my job, get all that, and then work at going back to school again. I have been super fortunate to have some really good therapists. My first one, his name's Isaac, and he started a clinic called the I Am Clinic, and it was all about queer people in the church leaving the church. So it was life-changing for me. He literally saved my life. It was the first man that I got to look up to and not sexualize, which is so hard because I always did that. It was always like this weird mix of like love and validation and sexualization and all this stuff. And it was so relieving to not have that and have someone that I believed him when he said, it will get better. I did not know how. I remember being so distraught coming in, I'll be real honest about this one sec. One time I came in and I had been super drunk and then did a very hard substance and then tried to smoke weed to even it out. You ever do that? If anyone's else in substance abuse programs where you like try and even out the, I'm high, so I'll take a lower and do this. And it really doesn't work that great. And he still met with me and he was just like, it's okay. Like, I am here for you, however you are. And do we think we want to do this again? It wasn't judgment of like, why the fuck did you do this, you stupid idiot? It was like, I wonder what you're feeling about this. And I remember he asked if I could make it home without going to the liquor store. And at the time, I couldn't. I honestly couldn't. And I would even like have the desire to want to stop, and I couldn't. And he didn't like force me and tell me, like, you got to get sober or else nothing else is going to work. But heard me and the pain behind it, and did my first bit into like EMDR, and then just really taking it slow. And I really want to reach out to him actually and tell him where I'm at today, because it's been like, I guess that was like 2010, 11, 12. So like a long time, and kind of tell him like, that's weird. Is that weird? I don't know if that's weird. I just want to reconnect with them and be like, I'm on the path you told me I could be on. Because you're the first person told me, he's like, if you ever got a degree in this, I would hire you. You have everything it takes to be this. And that was like the first person to believe in me that I could help other people. But I realized on that phase of the journey, I was at the I need to help myself part of it. I'm nowhere near ready to help other people. I've got to help myself. I've got to get sober from alcohol and drugs and then sex and then love and then deal with the family stuff. And each one of those has been a big pivotal moment of like building the steps towards more recovery to where I am today. And I feel really good because I'm sad that I'm going to be leaving my therapist in like 2 weeks. That I haven't really processed that yet. But I know it's going to be okay. I know they're not like throwing me to the wolves. Like, I am at a place where I'm more stable than I've ever been before, and I'll be able to transition to a new one. But I was just telling them about it. Like, when they like know you really well, like they know the history. They knew Mike in my psychotic sex and love addiction like days. And that's really helpful, I think, to know that like if I go to a new therapist like next month, they're gonna be like, ah, you're pretty stable, you're doing pretty great. I'm like, no, you don't understand. You don't know where I've been and what I've gone through. So that is kind of a bummer, but I know that it's still worth it. There's still stuff to pull apart, there's still stuff to dig into, there's more healing to be had. I can be grateful for what I have done and accomplished, and know that there will be more continued in the future. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all listening. Take the time.
Just let it all go. What's making you slow now? Just let it all go.